Will you please join me for the reading of Scripture? Today's reading comes from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 1, and the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 29. Please follow along with the scriptures on the screen. Hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Welcome. I'm so glad to be able to share God's word with you today. But before we can dive into what God says, I want to invite you to take a minute or two to come see inside my head, to see what I'm thinking on a daily basis, and what some of the things are that I say to myself. So my alarm goes off in the morning, and I am not a morning person. But usually the first thought that goes through my head is something like, "Oh, Kelsey, you're so dumb. Why did you stay up so late reading or scrolling on Instagram? When will you learn that you need more sleep?" I'll get up, I'll stumble off to the bathroom as I try to warm up my legs from sleeping the night before, saying something like, "Oh, these stupid legs, they'll never be back to how they were." I'll get ready as I stare into the mirror thinking, "Woo, you are getting a lot of wrinkles around your eyes. What happened? You look so bloated. Did you eat too much last night?" I'll get ready for the day, trying on multiple outfits, all of which I internally critique. "Nope, doesn't look good. Oh, everything looks ridiculous on you because you're so tall. You know, you really shouldn't have eaten that last night. You always are going to wear leg braces and your pants will never fit you right. Good luck ever trying to wear any shoes other than sneakers with those braces." Then I'll settle on something and I'll head into the kitchen to start my coffee as I think, "Oh, you know, so-and-so just stopped drinking all caffeine. You need to do that too. Why do you depend on so much caffeine?" I'll prepare my breakfast as I plan my day, thinking things like, "You're so behind on your work. You stink at your job. No one wants to hear from you. You're not qualified. You know what? Just scrap the sermon, hand over the children's ministry to someone else. They can do a better job than you can." And this continues all throughout the day. "You'll never be better. You'll never be healed. This is it. You're not a good wife. You're so dumb. You won't be able to be well enough to be a mom. You'll never be good enough. No one likes you." The list goes on and on and on. So how about you? Can you relate? What are the things that you are constantly telling yourself in your head about yourself, many of which may not even be true? What are the things that you are saying to yourself that no one else even knows about? What are the things that you repeat in your mind as you criticize and demean yourself? What words are you frequently using to condemn yourself? You know, we're in the third part of our sermon series called Me and My Big Mouth, because the words that we use are very powerful. They can either lift us up or tear us down. They can heal or they can wound. They can bring life or they can bring death. And throughout this series, we have been looking at the ways that our mouths can be used in a way that brings good and not evil. And today I want for us to take time to focus on the words that we say to ourselves. And whether you're someone who considers yourself to be a follower of Jesus or not, I want to encourage you to listen in as we tackle together what it looks like to start using our words to speak to ourselves in ways that brings life and not death. And we all know that it isn't right to criticize other people, but yet we do this to ourselves moment by moment all throughout the day. And why? Why do we do this? Well, there really are three reasons why we have this tendency to speak harshly to ourselves. The first is our environment. For many, this means the way that we were spoken to when we were growing up now trickles over and affects us years later. Comments that were made by people of authority in our lives, like our parents or by those who raised us. Comments like, why can't you be more like so-and-so's kid? You'll never get into that school. You'll never amount to anything. You're useless. Why are you always giving us so many problems? You look like you gained weight. You should probably start watching what you eat. This can be other people in our lives as well, like our bosses or our coworkers. That's a dumb idea. Why would you ever suggest that? No one's gonna buy a product like that. Why would you even say something like that? Why are you going to try to go for that promotion? You know you're not qualified enough to do that. It may be from our spouses or someone that we're dating. I don't know why you continue to do that habit. It is always so annoying. That shirt looks horrible on you. You know, you don't cook as well as my mom does. All comments that we hear, and sure, we can say that we can just shake them off or that they don't affect us. But if we're honest, if we aren't careful, we can easily internalize those comments as we start personalizing them to ourselves, as we replay them over and over in our minds. That we're not good enough, we're not strong enough, smart enough, healthy enough, you name it. All in comparison to what those closest to us have said to us. Next, we speak harshly to ourselves because of our culture. We live in a weird time with social media that allows for us to see into every aspect of other people's lives. Well, I mean every good aspect of their lives that they post about anyways. We're always comparing ourselves to others to see if we measure up or if we are okay. Oh, they're so much more successful and I'm just a nobody. They have a nice big house and I'm broke. I'll never have a house of my own. They have a spouse. No one likes me. I'll always be alone. They have a nice big family. I'll always be alone with no kids. They post pictures with their Bibles daily. I'll never be as holy as them. God probably doesn't even like me. Even the things that we watch on TV, listen to on the radio, see on magazines, all reminders of who we aren't, how we haven't made it, and how we aren't loved because we don't have any of those things. All ways that our culture feeds into the negative thinking and even the lies that we tell ourselves. Then lastly, we can speak harshly to ourselves because of Satan and sin. Now, some of you may be here saying, oh no, she mentioned the devil, not one of those crazy people that blames the devil for everything. But we do have to look at Satan when it comes to the things that we tell ourselves, because it was Satan who originally created lies and doubt, all things that contribute to the negative ways that we speak to ourselves. So we have to take a look at where those lies come from, which we're going to do in just a minute. But first, I want to take a second to point out that on that list of the things that cause us to talk negatively to ourselves, nowhere on that list is God. In fact, God is never the one who speaks words of condemnation to us, because it was God who knew just how powerful words can be. In fact, God demonstrated himself when he spoke the universe and the world into being, when he said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good. God spoke and what he said came into being. He continued to do this with the oceans, the sky, the vegetation, with animals. God spoke and something good was formed. Then when he created the first two humans, Adam and Eve, he put them in a garden called Eden to live and to thrive. With them, God spoke, saying that they were very good. And that was what was meant to be their identity, what God spoke. And therefore, it's meant to be our identities. When God speaks, he uses it to speak love, to create, to build. Then God spoke to Adam and Eve. Again, telling them, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. And we read in scripture, not even 10 verses later, that Satan used his words to bring death and destruction as he created doubt and confusion, saying to Eve, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Satan's words caused doubt, and Adam and Eve began to second guess and question what God wanted and what he had originally told them. Then Satan used his words to lie, saying, you will not certainly die, which deceived them into disobeying what God wanted, which brought sin and death to them, including all of humanity, both now and for all of eternity. The devil put lies where God's truth should have been. Even though Adam and Eve knew the truth of what God had said to them, they so easily fell into the trap of the lies that the devil had planted into them. And even though the devil spoke lies, such words were believed to be true and had the power to destroy. Jesus actually described Satan as being known as the father of lies, and that there is no truth that comes from him. And we are just as susceptible to Satan as Adam and Eve. Sure, it may not look like second guessing about eating a fruit from a tree, but thoughts like, I'm not good enough, I'm a bad parent, I'm a bad spouse, I'll never get better, I'm so weak, no one likes me. All lies that Satan uses to try to change our own perception of what is true. And because of what Satan did, it brought sin into this world, affecting our nature, which is why we have this posture towards doing what is wrong, which includes condemning ourselves, something that wasn't intended from the very beginning when God had created us. Since the world has been corrupted by sin, that is why everything in it has the tendency to bring up the fact that we are not good enough. We feel like we're always falling short because that's what sin is, falling short from what we were originally created to be. And unfortunately, many times we don't even realize that the very words we're telling ourselves and even believing about ourselves are not true. And so we go down this dangerous cycle as we spew these words of hate and condemnation onto ourselves, which in turn affects the way that we see and speak to ourselves, and even the way that we see and speak to others. And God knew that based on what Satan did, based on the lie that Satan told, sin came into this world and it not only destroyed everything, but it continues to destroy his beloved creation, and it separates us from him, which is why over 2,000 years ago, God came as Jesus to reestablish that broken relationship between humans and God. And in order to remove the wedge of sin, Jesus died on a cross for the sins of all of humanity. And the shedding of his blood created an avenue whereby anyone who would put their faith in him would now be made right with God. Anyone who would put their faith in him would be forgiven, and we would no longer be slaves to our sin anymore. We can all have new life, and we can experience new life and new nature because of what was done on that cross. Because of our faith in God, he gives us the power to now live the way that he had intended from the very beginning, which means that we don't have to go about our lives living out these lies and feeling condemned all the time. It's living our lives based on the truth, which is what God says about us. That is why we can live in a world that is broken, but yet still have perspective of what the truth is. We can live in a world that is sinful, but yet can still thrive and live out God's purposes for ourselves. And because that relationship with God has been restored, and because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, we can now listen to what God has to say about us instead of what others and even ourselves have to say about us. It's not defaulting to how our environments, our culture, or even how Satan speaks to us which is what we have been so used to. Instead, it is learning to embrace what God says about us. And knowing that we're forgiven and that we have new life in Him, Scripture says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So what does this mean? It means that for anyone who has put their faith and their life in Jesus, there is no condemnation. You are not condemned by God, and you are forgiven for your sins through Jesus. Which means that because you are not condemned by God, you don't have to condemn yourself. This verse also helps us to be able to identify where those voices in our head are coming from. Anytime we hear a condemning voice, we can know right away that that is not God. Satan's voice is condemning, the culture's voices are condemning, even the voices in our environment, including ourselves, can be condemning. And that is how we can tell the difference between the voice of what is true and the other voices that we are hearing. Because when God speaks to us, He doesn't condemn us. So why would we condemn ourselves with how we speak to ourselves? And knowing that you are loved because you are in Christ, and knowing that you now have a new identity and are made new in Christ, Scripture tells us, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. Because God only speaks love and truth to us, He wants us to do the same to ourselves and to others. So anything that we say, if any of it is condemning, if any of it is not true, then we want to evaluate, why are we saying and believing those things? And then we need to make sure that we don't continue to say those things to ourselves and to others, because God doesn't do that. If we want to reflect Him, then we want to be able to speak life to ourselves and to each other. Scripture continues saying, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Scripture tells us that the only thing that we should be telling ourselves and others are things that build up and things that bring grace. But that's so much easier said than done. So here are some practical ways for us to watch what we say to ourselves. And this can apply even to what we say to others. So first, it's taking a word inventory. This is where we're taking a look at the words that we are telling ourselves and asking ourselves, are these words and thoughts condemning? Are they lies? Or are they words that build me up and bring me grace? These words that I'm telling myself, are they speaking life or are they speaking death? If we can identify that the words that we say to ourselves are words of condemnation, we then can examine, where are these words coming from? Is this something that someone has told me? Is it something that the culture is telling me? Or is it something that Satan is having me believe? Why am I saying these things to myself? So for example, in my own life, it's taking statements like, I will never be better. I can trace that back to the doctors that I had telling me that I'll never make it, that I'll be dead within 2 years. When it comes to telling myself, I will never be good enough, I can trace that back to relationships that I have been in, where the person constantly told me I wasn't good enough. I can trace it to Satan trying to discourage me from sharing about God whenever an opportunity comes up. When it comes to telling myself things like, you need to lose weight, I can trace that back to growing up as a dancer, constantly looking at, criticizing, and comparing myself with other dancers in the mirror. When we can take a word inventory and when we can identify the false words and where they are coming from, we are better equipped to fight those thoughts. And that leads us to the next thing, where we are replacing those negative things we say about ourselves with what God says instead. So how do we know what God has to say about us? We have it right in His word, known as the Bible. And all throughout Scripture, we can see what God actually thinks of us. And that is why if you consider yourself to be a follower of Jesus, then you have to be consistently surrounding yourself with what God says. It's not enough to simply come to church on Sundays and hear what God says and then go the whole week without surrounding yourself with God's word. It's also spending time on your own in God's word. The only way that we can fight off the lies and the condemning words that we tell ourselves is with the truth. And the truth is what God says, because God is truth. God cannot and does not lie. If you're not sure where to start when it comes to the Bible, I went ahead and put some of the most common things that we can fall into telling ourselves, and then I put what God's truth is in the scripture next to it. It's right there in your message notes, so you can click on the link to download that in the description. Things like, I am unlovable, when the truth is, I am deeply loved by God. Scripture says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. It's lies like, I am alone, when the truth is, I'm never alone. Scripture says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Lies like, I am weak, when the truth is, with God, I am strong. Scripture says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. It's lies like, I will never change, I am who I am, when the truth is that I'm a new creation in Jesus. Scripture says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. Lies like, I am not good enough, I can't do this, when the truth is that with God, I can do it. Scripture says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So when you have those negative thoughts going through your mind, it is taking this list out and reading these verses over and over until you believe them. It is putting God's word up around your house. If you've ever been to our house, then you know that we love sticky notes. I can't even tell you how many sticky notes that we have up in our home. On the mirrors, on the cabinets, on the walls, near our desks. We put them on the door threshold. You name them. There is scripture there. Why? Well, because we all have the tendency to forget what God says as soon as we leave church or even leave our house. So it's literally immersing ourselves in what God says frequently and all throughout our day. Even the Israelites did this in the Old Testament of the Bible. God instructed them to take the commandments he had given them and remember them by putting them right in front of their eyes wherever they looked, because that would be things that would remind them about God's ways and about what he thought about them. Scripture says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them whenever you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So it's taking a word inventory, and then it's replacing our words with what God says. In addition to that, there are two other things we can do to help us with the words that we say to ourselves. One of those is having friends and community that speak life to us. Now, this doesn't just mean that we're to surround ourselves with people who affirm everything in our lives, even when we're making poor decisions or unwise choices. But this means having one or two close friends who follow Jesus, who you can reach out to when you're wrestling with the things that you're telling yourself. Friends who can be a sounding board as you share with them about what you are thinking about. Friends who can come alongside you and help to clear out what, if any, of what you are saying to yourself is true and what are lies. Friends who can pray for you, be with you, and speak God's truth into your situation. It is when we are alone that we end up spiraling and going down rabbit trails, playing back the condemning words to ourselves in our heads. Community can change that. And then lastly, we have to be intentional about speaking truth into other people's lives. Each and every one of you sitting here today has an influence on at least one other person's life, whether you realize it or not. If you're a parent or an aunt, an uncle, a grandparent, a teacher, you may immediately be able to think of who that person is. But even those of you who are younger, even those of you who don't have a family of your own, you have people who you have influence over. Classmates and coworkers, people that you see on a daily basis. And one of the best ways that we can help others to speak God's truth into their own lives is to use our words to encourage and build people up rather than to tear down and destroy. Remember what we said earlier. Two of the biggest reasons why any of us speak negatively to ourselves is what other people have said and what the culture says. So we are to be a light as we hold on to the fact that we're to speak life and grace into other people's lives. So what is at stake if we don't change the way that we speak to ourselves? This is what happens. We continue to walk around defeated as we condemn ourselves. It prevents us from seeing God moving in our lives. Because even if he does move, we're speaking to ourselves in ways where we're frequently beating ourselves up. What else is at stake? Well, it's hard for us to reflect the goodness of God when we ourselves are not being good to ourselves with our words and our thoughts. And ultimately, the way that we speak to ourselves privately will inevitably come out in the way that we speak to others. So if we condemn ourselves in our heads, it'll be no surprise that we condemn others with our words and our actions. But we have God, and this is not the way that he intended for us to live, which is why anyone who is in Christ, we have hope. And we get to make a choice. Continue to speak the words that we have been telling ourselves for years, the lies and the words that our environment and our culture and Satan tells us. Or we can commit to learning to speak to ourselves in ways that God speaks to us as we're transformed into becoming and thinking more like him. We can choose to remember that when God speaks to us, he doesn't condemn us. So why would we condemn ourselves with how we speak to ourselves? You know, in the beginning, I shared with you a lot about the words that I could easily fall into telling myself. But I also want to share with you that getting into God's word consistently and surrounding myself with people who can speak God's truth into me has helped me tremendously to be less and less negative with my words and be less negative towards myself. It has been a process, but now I can compare what I say to myself to what God says to me and what people who I trust have to say. And I can realize that some of the things that I say to myself just aren't true. Some of the thoughts that I think about myself are lies. I have found that the way that I speak to myself determines my attitude and the tone of my day. So every day, I have to fight, and every day you have to fight as well. But if you can start to think through what God says about you, it will truly start to change you as God transforms you from the inside out and as He deepens your relationship with Him and even with other people. Remember, when God speaks to us, He doesn't condemn us. So why would we condemn ourselves with how we speak to ourselves? Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you did through your Son, Jesus, because we know that because of our faith in you, there is no more condemnation. We are loved. We are forgiven. We have hope. And we have mercy, which means that we can speak love to ourselves, forgiveness, hope, and mercy as well. And we can do that to others. God, help us to practice this and to learn for your thoughts to be our thoughts and to learn to live by what you think of us. As we continue in prayer, maybe today you are realizing that you want to have that relationship with Jesus, the relationship that can allow for you to say that there is now no condemnation. If that's you and you don't have that relationship with Jesus, but you would like to seek His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness, then I want to invite you to make a decision today. All you have to do is just pray with me, repeating after me as you say, Heavenly Father, thank you for dying for my sins and for forgiving me. I turn from my sins and choose to walk with you from this day forward. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you're someone who prayed to ask Jesus to come into your life, then that means that you now have a relationship with the God of the universe and that you are a part of His family. We would love for you to let us know of your decision by emailing us at info@communitycitychurch.org so that we can follow up with you, give you some next steps, and help you to grow in that relationship with God. Now, friends, go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.